tied together.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
You've got Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan here with the Sons of Liberty. First off, if you would like to know who we are, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. And find out who we are, what we do, and if you really want to know, what we look like. On our website, you can also view our mission, letters from famous people who like us, and of course, a few who don't. Also available are General of God tidbits, as well as lots of links. And check out our online store for lots of cool stuff. Please also feel free to contact our office for more information on the ministry. Our phone number is 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. If you would like to download this radio program's podcast, they are available at sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly radio updates via email, you'll be informed ahead of time who we will be having on as a special guest and what topics we'll be discussing that week. Please contact us through sonsoflibertyradio.com. Again, if you'd like to get a hold of us, please call 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And again, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. It's Friday.
Yeah, that went quick, didn't it?
You know what? I'm a day off here, folks. I'm so busy doing this stuff. It's February 17th, Friday, 2012. It's 2012, right?
2012.
All right. That's right. Yeah, with you today, yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan, the guy that we call the other guy. If you'd like to be a part of our show today, folks, please give us a call at 1-877-807-9977. Again, that number is 1-877-807-9977. If you'd like to see who it is we are, what we look like, you want to see our pretty little mugs, you can go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to go to my Facebook, please do. I appreciate all the response that I've been getting from you people little by little on a daily basis. That's Bradley Dean, double E, Bradley Dean on my Facebook, Bradley Dean on my Facebook. Or you can follow me on Twitter, which is Bradley Dean 1 on my Twitter, Bradley Dean 1 on my Twitter. Now, folks, this is the show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's heads. Now, folks, just remember, Christians, patriots, and conservatives, where you compromise, you lose. Forget that not. And with that, I want to let you know that we are turning talk radio into do radio. We are not hearers of the word only, deceiving ourselves, but we're doers of the word. Faith with works. It's very important. So you can bring forth fruit unto your Father. Matthew 5:17. That's how he's glorified. Outside of that, yesterday we were talking about a theocracy. Jake, did you want to say hey really quick?
Yeah. Well, all right. There's a couple things.
That's good.
Bringing it to
yesterday
that.
We were talking about the... I'm totally
playing. I didn't say hey yet.
All right.
I should have said hey right away. Hey right away. Folks, on our Facebook, you can find Sons of Liberty Radio. And again, the same thing Bradley was saying. You guys are adding on every single day, and we appreciate that. Find Bradley's latest column. It's released every Friday. Published on WorldNet Daily. It's also on GCN, right on their homepage. But you can find them on our Facebook page, at Sons of Liberty. And then number two, also that theocracy topic, I put out a blog on that, and that's on our Sons of Liberty Facebook page.
It's a fun topic.
A lot of you folks have actually already been commenting on that blog about theocracy, so I encourage you, if you have any questions about it, go
pro,
check it out.
Pro, con, both?
It's both. It just explains what it is and what we are as a nation. We are not a theocracy.
Oh, let's go to the con real quick. Let's hear some of your con comments.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you meant, does the article explain?
It no, I mean, after yesterday's radio show, by the way, I just got some more emails from yesterday's radio show. Thank you for those, folks.
Hot one.
Yes, no, as we're speaking here. But aside of that, theocracy, the whole topic is great. Because what we have is, yesterday we were talking about the lady that was on the radio program with a conservative talking about how we're not a theocracy.
Yeah, they're terrified
of that.
We're not
a theocracy, right? And what they do is they complain about being ruled by God. And by the way, this is 68% of America folks that claim their Christianity that are complaining that we're not a theocracy.
Yeah.
Just so you understand that. They hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Yep.
They work against themselves. You get the point. Yep. So I go on. So yesterday she was complaining about being ruled by God, but yet they complain about a government who won't be ruled by God.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, do as I say, but don't do as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why we have corruption in America is because the professed church is no longer the light. And then what we see is an administration, which is corrupt, no question about it, going after the church. And they're going after the church and the women and the congregations to buy their contraceptions because there's money to be made. Well, if the preachers were doing their job and preaching out against fornication, sex before marriage, and adultery, then they wouldn't have a problem with the government intruding into the church's affairs because the women would fear God and they would have no need for contraceptions. But since the government sees it, which is a part of a New World Order plan anyways, to corrupt the church, in the process of doing that, they come in because there's money to be made.
Yeah.
But if the preacher was doing his job, he wouldn't have to worry about the government breaking in because there'd be no money to be made.
That's right.
And it's the same thing with what we were talking about the day before that, which was Whitney Houston. I mean, this beautiful, young, talented singer was raised up in the church in New Jersey. And I said to you folks a couple days ago, what was her preacher or her pastor omitting that she thought she could go out and spend $7 million on drugs and booze and partied up and heaven can't wait to receive her?
That's right.
She still thinks she's heaven bound. And I'm trying to figure out what Bible they're reading that they would think that they're heaven bound in the first place. I mean, there's so much licentiousness and lasciviousness involved and using the grace of God as an occasion of the flesh that they don't have no responsibility when, in fact, the grace empowers you to keep the commandments better.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely contrary. You know, I said this to an individual not too long ago, and she was trying to justify false grace. I said, well, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, and you're complaining about how bad everything is all the time. How come the church isn't overcoming?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not talking about the same grace that I am. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It overcomes. It inherits all things. And what's foreign to these people is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What's foreign to these people is overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
What's foreign to these people is that we're made more than conquerors through him who loved us. What's foreign to these people is the good fight of faith. You understand?
Yeah, love.
Yeah,
really,
totally.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Love for their Savior.
It's a
we're
work
all
of,
sinners.
A work of faith and a labor of love. And then if you take it to the other side of that, folks, especially for those that know the word, isn't it interesting that the love of many will wax cold because of the workers of lawlessness?
Right.
And it's these people that are at war with God's law.
Mm-hmm.
Boy,
yeah.
That works right in hand in glove with those that hate God, doesn't it?
It's not the devil worshippers.
No.
It's those that hold God and light in the wrong context.
And what happens every time we depart from the laws of God? Just go back to 1962 and then read the Bible, because it's nothing new under the sun, folks. When I come back, I'm going to preach as to convert nobody. You got Bradley and Jake, Sons of Liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com, 1-877-807-9977.
The Sons of Liberty is willing to do what it takes to ensure that you and your posterity remain in this blessed country full of the possibilities of liberty. However, our work cannot go on without you. We rely on the generosity of faithful listeners like you. We're asking you to partner with us financially. The future of our nation is depending on it. All donations are tax deductible, and with a gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a special Sons of Liberty message. Call 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747.
833-0747 or go online, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings you responses like this.
Jacob Bradley are leading the way with a few others in this attempt to get Christians and Christian populists to understand that we are the new cultural, countercultural movement, and one which is much more powerful than the countercultural movement of the 60s, which has failed. So what I like about the Sons of Liberty is they understand that.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now, I'm going to give you a real interesting point just to chew on this for a couple minutes. But did you know that 3M, big corporations, they'll hire troubleshooters. And troubleshooters, what they'll do is they'll go through everything that the company is and as it, how it's set up. They'll go through every channel these troubleshooters will, right? And 3M hires these troubleshooters to show them what's wrong with their company so it will flow better for more profit. But isn't it interesting, on the other hand, the church doesn't want anything to do with the prophets of God anymore because they don't want to be judged within. Yet Scripture tells us we're to judge within, and God is the one that judges the heathen. And here lies the problem, folks. They hate troubleshooters. The church in America, the professed church in America, they hate troubleshooters. They don't want anything to do with the prophetic voice. They don't want to be called out for any of their errors because they don't want anything to do with Christ at length. Mm-hmm. Yet Scripture tells us that the whole purpose of doctrine is for what? Reproof, correction, and instructions in righteousness. And then we wonder why we're in so much error because we won't correct ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you the question. Where's the love? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. They'll receive the kisses, but they won't receive the rebuke. And I don't know if it's just me again, but Scripture comes to mind when I say, I thought iron sharpens iron. I thought love is to be without dissimulation. I thought love is unfeigned, not counterfeit.
I think if you just look at our military, does our military have troubleshooters? Yes. They make sure everything is working good because they know they're in a war, and if it's not, people are going to die.
Totally.
So our military embraces it, but our church, who doesn't believe they're in a war, number one. Number two, they've broken the second commandment, which says they worship an idol god, something made into the image of something on the earth or in the waters. It's themselves. Their end goal is profits, happiness, peace, joy, and all this fluff that isn't biblical from a biblical perspective. And that's what their end is.
Yeah.
They worship a different god. I used to think in the Catholic Church, it was, oh, the idols, all the statues and stuff, we're not supposed to worship that. No, it has to do with you forming in your own mind a different image or conception of who God is according to whose likeness. Well, yours, of course.
Yeah.
And then God loves you.
Yeah.
They don't think they're in a war. They're not in a battle. And they don't want to get better because they think
they're sitting in the church waving flags, praising Jesus, but they forget about the people that are drowning outside of their boats.
Yep. No war for them.
It's a joke. Mm-hmm. It really is a joke. And that's not who we are. We used to have something in this country called Black Regiment, and they were with our forefathers. Mm-hmm. And they were the guys that scared the hell, literally, out of the tyrant King George, because it was the Black Regiment that were sending forth tracts out, calling out the king for who he was. And by the way, folks, when you read scripture, where didn't the prophets go and deal with the kings
right
and the church?
Yep.
That's all he did. What did John the Baptist lose his head for? What did Jesus say about Herod? Go tell that fox. Mm-hmm. I mean, folks, we got it so completely backwards because you've been listening to the preacher rather than reading the Word of God for yourselves.
Yeah.
And you might want to know that Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, you can't pin your sleeve onto your pastors and think you're going into heaven with them. You're going to stand there before God all by yourself. All by yourself. Let me go back to the turn of the century. We have something called Salvation Army today. The founder of the Salvation Army, folks, it's not what you see today. I mean, the Salvation Army today, for the most part, has eradicated the Word of God in almost every sense of the word. You see these guys out in front of the stores ringing the bell for the good of the people. You know, where's Scripture? Where's the love? Where's the confrontation? Where's the contention? Where's the contending for the faith? None. There's none. Matter of fact, a lot of times what I'll do is when I see these people out there, these Salvation Army people during Christmas time, I'll go over there and I'll say, do you know who William Booth is? And they have no idea. He's the founder. Do you know who Catherine Booth is? No, I don't know who she is. Catherine Booth is the one that wrote a book called Aggressive Christianity. You know, as the cigarettes hanging out of their mouths. As I'm going over there to teach them what their founders had established at the turn of the century. Salvation Army, at the very inception, is very much godly and righteous and holy.
Salvation Army.
Totally. Completely.
I mean, salvation.
Dude, a lot of them died. A lot of them got raped. They used to literally go into the bars. They would stand on the street corners and warn people to turn from their sins, their lawlessness before God. It's that simple. Not the weirdos that you see on the street corners today. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the founders of the William Booth, Catherine Booth, which the modern Salvation Army beggars, they don't know anything to do with who their founders are. That's why we track them. That's why we pink and bloom. And that's why we put the law of God in front of their face and say, this is what your founders meant to tell you, but they're dead. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the opportunity, so we high-five the Salvation Army.
That's why we got street teams doing what Salvation originally once did, and that's getting the gospel on every retail, everywhere you can.
Listen to what he said, the founder of Salvation Army over 100 years ago. Listen carefully and tell me it hasn't come to pass, because it has. He said, William Booth did, I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Boy, did that guy hit it right in the center.
Yeah.
He nailed this. This is over 100 years ago he said this.
Yeah. Okay. Get rid of everything that conflicts completely with man's thoughts.
So the love to him was calling out corruption for what it was, confronting it, and bringing forth God's judgments. By the way, in Psalm 9:16, it says that God is known by the judgments that he executes. But what does the modern-day church teach you? What do they teach their members?
Judgments.
Thou shalt not judge.
Oh, yeah.
When, in fact, that's exactly what God taught us through Scripture. As long as we're walking in the light of it, so we're not the Pharisees or the hypocrites thinking that we sit in Moses' seat.
Mm-hmm.
We tell other people what to do, but we ourselves, no. Real Christianity leads the way, folks, just so you know. But let me get to my topic here. Preaching so as to convert nobody by Charles Finney.
And I just want to bring up, too, folks, the column is called Sandusky Jake. Laughs.
Okay. And now, folks, we're going to get to this again. Preaching so as to convert nobody. Okay? He wrote this in 1871. He said, number one, let your supreme motive... This is to the preachers, and this at length is what they're preaching today. Let your supreme motive be to secure your own popularity. Then, of course, your preaching will be adopted to that end and not to convert souls to Christ. Folks, I'm going to give you the pros and the cons. Read Psalm 9:17 and Galatians 3:24. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It's interesting that people say, well, we're not under the law. What they're doing is they're getting messed up is ceremonial law with moral law. The moral law still stands. That's why we have the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law. But if Christ didn't come to fulfill the law, then why did men repent? Keep in mind that he went to the Jews who knew the law of God that were broken by the law. That's why he was bringing forth grace to those people. And we're the Gentiles, and that's exactly what Paul did in the book of Acts. He brought forth the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. He knew the proper order. And what we've done in 1962 is we said, enough of the law, now let's have it our own way. We don't want Moses, we want the golden calf through Aaron. And what happened in America is the professing church let it go. They began to let the Supreme Court rule the day rather than the church being the voice that it should be with a trumpet in their mouth. Okay? Number two is preaching as to convert nobody is aim at pleasing rather than converting your hearers. I didn't know that. Charles Spurgeon was right when he said that God never sends a man that does not trouble consciences. That's exactly right. Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring what? A sword. And what happens through that? Contention. What? For the establishing of the truth. So people can have a spiritual understanding rather than a carnal, fallen understanding. Number three has to convert nobody. Aim at securing for yourself the reputation of a beautiful writer. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You go to church for 20 minutes, if he goes that long because he doesn't want to offend anybody. He tells you a little story about Noah's Ark. He gets you to sing a pretty little song. Then he begs for your money for 15 minutes. Rather than give you the truth, he wants your money. That's a hireling, folks.
Then he publishes a book, sells it in the bookstore, gets it on the New York Times about how wonderful living for God is.
Joel Osteen.
Yeah, those guys. Every one of them.
Joyce Meyer.
Every mega church.
Mac Hammond.
Yeah, that's how you live successfully.
That's right.
Principles,
prosperity,
seven steps.
Prosperity, prosperity. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Just read my book, Seven Steps, folks. Can you show me that in Scripture, please?
And where's the evangelism section in those bookstores?
I guess I have no idea. Remember when we sat down with the guy from Bethany in Minnesota, folks, a college president. He's a professor, I'm sorry. He said that he was the only one that he knew in the state of Minnesota that had anything to do with evangelism. Out of all the colleges in the state of Minnesota, Christian colleges. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. Because it represents the 68% of professed Christianity that I see. It's a lack thereof. And then what happens is the heathen get mad at the Christians, and they get mad at them for their hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. That's why you have something called atheism, mm-hmm. which is irrelevant.
It's bitterness that God didn't do what they wanted to do.
It totally is. Number four is let your sermons be written with a high degree of literary finish. Ostentatious erudition,
folks.
Ooh,
yeah.
Use other writers. Tag your sleeve to theirs and act like it's you that's saying it.
And we find our faith in the wisdom of men's words, the Bible says. Wait a minute.
That's right.
No, it doesn't say we find it in the faith.
Oh, no. I thought you were saying it the other way. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And we're not to find our faith in the power and the demonstration of man's wisdom, but rather in the spirit of God.
That's right.
There's the problem right there, folks. We're going to come back on this topic, preaching as to convert nobody but the sons of liberty. If you'd like to be a part of the show, come on, Christians. 1-877-807-9977. Patriots. The My War documentary series is brought to you by the Sons of Liberty. This documentary takes you back to the foundations of who we are as a people and gives you insight into topics such as our founding fathers, what kids are being taught in public schools, abortion, drug abuse, Hollywood and the moral decline of our nation, and much more. Go to youcanruninternational.com, youcanruninternational.com to purchase the My War documentary series today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Opposition, it's a bad sign for the Christianity of this day that it provokes so little opposition. If there were no other evidence of it being wrong, I should know it from that. When the church and the world can jog along comfortably together, you may be sure that there's something wrong. Founder of the Salvation Army. Now we got Bruce from Minnesota, you got Bradley and Jake. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, hi, thank you. I was wondering, when I read the Old Testament, God orders lots of killings and lots of slaughters. There are verses where he orders his followers to kill women and children and all of the livestock and to cut open the wombs of pregnant mothers and dash the baby's heads on the rocks. It's extremely horrible and violent.
Hang on a second, Bruce. Can you tell me what you're talking about? And can you show me in Scripture what you're talking about?
Yes. Are you familiar with the Old Testament at all?
Very much. Very much.
Okay, well, haven't you read the verses in the Old Testament?
I'm asking
where you have.
That's right. Bruce, what we're asking
attack.
You. Bruce, if there's any destruction,
yes.
Let me ask you this. If you're looking in Scripture, first of all, I've never seen in Scripture as to what you're talking about, and I've read the book for the last 15 years, night and day. So I'm kind of curious as to if you could bring specificity as to what you're talking about. Wonderful. But if you're just bringing in your opinion because you heard it from someone, I don't have time for it. So I'm asking you to bring it to a point. Show me in Scripture what you're talking about.
Oh, there are many verses in the Old Testament where God orders his followers, his Israelites, to wage war against other tribes.
Okay. And I'm asking you, why was, let's say we're going back to what you're talking about now. Can you tell me why he said wage war against other tribes? What was it for?
Oh, well, there are, at least there are a couple of hundred different verses. Each time he has a different reason.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm asking for. Bring in specifics here. Because if you're telling me an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a burn for burn, a wound for a wound, if you're talking about, like, for example, should there be a death penalty, let me just say this. I'll just bring that as a topic up. Isn't it interesting that if you don't want to do the time, then you don't do the crime? And what I see in America today more than anything is there's more compassion showed for the victim rather than the one that commits the crime. Now, if you want to put this into perspective, I want to totally get... Did I say that the wrong way? Did I say that the wrong way, Heather?
No.
How did I say that the wrong way?
If you don't want to pay the time...
That's right. Okay. There's more compassion shown on the criminal than there is the victim. And so let's put that into perspective. Thank you for that. That is important, yeah? So if you want to bring into this conversation a little bit more as to just saying that God sicks his kids on people to kill them, then I think we need to keep it in perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a crime, then it seems like God would deal with those criminals. And I think we have a justice system that does the same thing today. Am I wrong in saying that, Bruce?
Bruce.
I think we lost Bruce.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm Bruce.
Just wondering. I'm sure you've read the Old Testament, right?
Mm-hmm. What's your point here, Bruce? Just bring it to the light, okay? We don't have to do anything incognito. Just go ahead, throw it out on the table. What is it that you want to know?
Well, what I want to know is, in the Old Testament, God orders many violent acts to be taken against the enemies of the Israelites.
Okay.
For various different reasons.
Would that be for their wickedness? Is that why God would sick his kids on other people to deal with them in their wickedness?
Yes.
Okay. So is there something called justice in this whole mix, or is there no justice? Are you saying God is unjust in what he did?
Well, I'm not really saying anything. I'm asking you a question rather than making a statement.
Okay. And I guess God brought forth justice, if that's the very habitation of his throne, and the people of the earth learn righteousness through his judgments, Isaiah 26, then I think judgment is a good thing, because if we want peace in our world, then we're going to have to bring justice, right? And so what I see in Scripture is God always bringing forth justice so people can have peace. I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. And I think the problem that we have today, Bruce, is we have judges that rule against God. They think they do. They spit against heaven. And what happens is we have no peace. We have chaos. And then we're trying to figure out where God is and why is the real Christianity of the day not showing itself off to be what it really is and bringing forth justice.
Are you familiar with the Old Testament story where the Israelites were walking through the desert, and they came upon a man who was gathering wood?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and in that story, the Israelites took this man into custody, and they asked God, what should we do with this man?
Right, because he broke God's commandment. Yes.
And God ordered the Israelites to take this man outside of the camp and stone him to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus in the New Testament says, it sounds to me like in the New Testament, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. He doesn't seem to be advocating violence. He says that if a man does wrong unto, smites you on one cheek, that you should turn the other also. And if a man asks you to walk a mile, you should offer to walk a second mile.
Right.
Would Jesus have had Jesus lived during the time when the Israelites found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath, would Jesus have stood in the crowd and stoned the man to death?
You want to know what Jesus did, Bruce, is he took the penalty and the punishment of the man who got stoned.
He was crucified by wicked hands.
He was crucified for sin. So it doesn't say that Jesus pardoned sin. No, it says, I will take that sin upon me because of my great love that my Father has to give his only Son to redeem mankind. So he didn't do away with it and say, well, just turn the other cheek. No, he said, you know what? I will take the blow. I will take it upon me. Because that is love and that is redemption. It doesn't do away with justice. It says, I'll take all that justice on myself because justice has to be upheld.
The cross was justice.
And criminals have to be judged. And if Christ redeemed a criminal, that criminal doesn't go do crimes anymore.
Wow.
This is the purpose of the New Testament.
Yes.
May I ask you guys, if you had been among the Israelites who found a man gathering wood,
Let me ask you something, Bruce, because this is just really generic, bro. I mean, this is so, it's a straw question. It really is. If God commanded something and the children of Israel broke the law, then they fulfilled the law in honor of God. Is that not right? And if you look at, let's go to Abraham for a second. God fulfilled a promise to Abraham. Do you remember this? And what happened is God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. His name is Isaac. And in his seed, I will bless that seed. Okay? And what happened is God said, go sacrifice Isaac now that he's a little boy. What was God doing? He was seeking out Abraham's heart to see who he loved more. The blessing or the giver of the blessing. So Abraham obeyed him, brought him to the altar to sacrifice him. And when he did that, by an act of obedience, he was going to sacrifice his son. You know what God said? He said, withhold harm from your child. I wanted to see if you love me more than you did him. And because you have done this, I'm going to multiply your seed. God didn't mean harm to Isaac. God meant to see what was in Abraham's heart. Rather, he loved him more than he did the gift. And it's the same thing today. When we love God, we'll do all for God as unto obedience unto him because we obey because we love. And I think what happens is people miss the heart of it. They get caught up in the head, not knowing that God speaks to the heart and not the head. And I think the best way to do it is weigh it out in the balance of Scripture. So for you to say to me, if I was there, would I have been a partaker of it? You know what? I would obey God regardless of what the obstacles that might be in front of me were. And that's just where I'm at. And it's a real... It's, Bruce, to be quite honest with you, it's a real, like I said earlier, a generic question. It's like, what would you have done, Bruce?
I would not.
You'd have disobeyed God, right?
I would not have. If I was standing among those Israelites who told me that God had given them a message to take this poor man who had been gathering wood outside of the camp and stone him to death, I would have said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Then let me
ask you. You have said, yes, I will stone the man to death.
Let me ask you the question then. Would you, because the law today says go ahead and abort a baby, would you abort a baby? Because the law
doesn't mandate the abortion of babies. The law doesn't say you must abort a baby.
No. You got me backwards. God said, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. Let's take it to life rather than death. Okay? If the question that you asked me, let's turn it over to abortion, are you okay with those that advocate abortion?
Well,
you're doing nothing tells me that you are.
Let me answer it this way. In the Old Testament, God orders his Israelite followers to cut the babies from the womb of their mothers and dash their heads against the rock.
Bruce, if you say that again, which it's not in Scripture, you're a liar. It's not in Scripture.
Yes,
no, you're not. You're trying to set people at war with God. It's absolutely untrue what you're saying right now. And you sound to me, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Bruce, but you'd rather disobey God and concur with those that break God's law. That's what it sounds like.
God's laws,
just for the final second here, folks, God's laws preserve life.
That's right.
They preserve life. And every time God gives us laws, it's for our good to obey them for the preservation of life and liberty, and by the way, the pursuit of happiness. Wow, that was a weird one.
That's very weird.
That was weird.
Lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys?
Well, just proved the point, didn't we? I thought he was a cool guy, though.
The Sons of Liberty is willing to do what it takes to ensure that you and your posterity remain in this blessed country full of the possibilities of liberty. However, our work cannot go on without you. We rely on the generosity of faithful listeners like you. We're asking you to partner with us financially. The future of our nation is depending on it. All donations are tax deductible, and with a gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a special Sons of Liberty message. Call 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. 3-3-0-7-4-7, or go online, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings you responses like this.
Jacob Bradley are leading the way with a few others in this attempt to get Christians and Christian populists to understand that we are the new cultural, countercultural movement, and one which is much more powerful than the countercultural movement of the 60s, which has failed. So what I like about the Sons of Liberty is they understand that.
Become a son or daughter of liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
BePrepared.com is making deals because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. Stay tuned for a free offer from BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. Now the sale items. Right now through March 9th, save 32% on freeze-dried chicken breast, $140 on a year's supply of basics, and save on the best-tasting instant non-fat dry milk and heirloom garden seeds. All of this and more, all at BePrepared.com. Plus, order $75 or more and get a free $25 gift card by using promo code Genesis35 at checkout at BePrepared.com. Limit one per customer. This sale ends March 9th. Call 800-222-9596 and experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-222-9596. Hurry, sale ends March 9th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Bruce, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to take a quick break here. And it wasn't very clear as to what you were saying. I mean, I know that you were trying to set me up with your questions. I'm a couple steps ahead of you there, bro. But I think the bottom line is the first question is, was the man supposed to be picking up the sticks in the first place? No, he wasn't. So he broke the law. Irregardless of the consequence or the recompense of breaking that law, he broke the law.
And can I show you something?
That's what really matters here.
Christ, though that man broke the law, because this is what people need to understand about Christ. God is not against anybody. God is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That man broke the law. Christ took the redemption of that man's soul who broke the law. He took the wrath for that man.
That's
judgment
right.
Doesn't disappear because Jesus shows up on the scene. Jesus shows up on the scene to be twice what the law could give us.
That's right.
Takes the penalty of the law and then says, now live. So what are you going to do with that living, Bruce? The verse that you brought up about the women were tore up, their wounds were ripped open.
Where the heck is he at,
That's
dude?
What happens when heathen nations come in and take over other nations. That is in the Bible, but it wasn't God's kids and God never commanded it. Now let me ask you a question. That's the same thing that men do, and you would probably agree with them, Bruce, when doctors reach into the womb of a mother and tear up that child and throw it in a garbage can. So who's the barbarian here?
How contradictory to your very question.
Yep.
Bruce, I mean, that if you really think about the way that you set that question up, you set yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes back to the issues of what they were doing in the Bible, which, by the way, folks, is not in the Bible.
Yeah.
He must have a different translation, like a UN global translation or something like that.
Sure.
But are you decrying those that are committing atrocity against innocent babies in the wombs today?
Yeah.
Or are you just busy trying to get people at war with God?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Real clear.
Yeah.
And it was real
clear.
It is.
Because that's exactly the end of their agenda. People that think like that, and whether or not he's sincere or not, I don't even care. That's dangerous the way he's thinking. He would rather destroy innocent life and condemn God than justify God his laws.
I would think that if I was walking in righteousness and I had a right heart before man and God, and man, that I would be out there protesting those that are killing babies if you had such a problem with it, Bruce.
Right. Yeah.
But you weren't trying to do that. You were trying to set me up to see how I'd answer the question so you could bring it to another topic. Yeah. We weren't just born yesterday, brother. So you understand that.
It's typical of the liberals who love everybody. It's social justice. Help the poor. Okay, so are you out protesting the clinics that are targeting poor women to kill their babies?
No, apparently not.
No, but you're protecting trees, though.
We're trying to catch people in their words to set people at war with God, because we're at war with God, and we're in agreement with tyrannical government that kills babies, but yet we want everybody to see Christians are just bad people.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about this whole thing is, do you see these liberals protesting abortion clinics? No, you don't. You see them giving money to these abortion clinics. Isn't it interesting?
Right.
Do you see the homosexual community today decrying Jerry Sandusky
and all
the atrocities against those kids?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Isn't that kind of strange, folks?
Can't do that.
But yet, these are the people that are at war with God because they don't understand Scripture, and they don't understand to love God with your heart, your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. They don't understand that because they have a reprobate mind.
That's right.
And that's what you're dealing with.
Do you see him in the class?
It exemplified my point. A weird question.
Do you see him in the classrooms protesting the teachers that are raping the minds of children through comprehensive sex education? No, what they want is more sex education to push their perversion.
Yes, and
they
also want to make sure that kids are taught that they're from monkeys.
Oh yeah.
Not from God.
Don't cry that.
They want liberty.
That's right. Yeah.
They want liberty without
Grandpa monkey.
They want to be fish without water and birds without air.
Everything will be better.
Yeah. Great question, Bruce. What planet did that come from?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that was a strange one.
Yeah. And it represents...
That was deranged.
It represents a small, festering group of people in this country that have been tolerated by, again, the church, because they don't have an accurate argument. They don't care.
No.
They don't care about guys like Bruce that are that confused. They call him the devil and say, we need to take up an offering because we need to not turn out like Bruce, rather than going and hitting that issue head on, answering the question, and showing what the gospel is all about.
Yeah.
And also revealing what he's believing in or what he's talking about is all about.
Well, I hope Bruce is holding up his sign stating, stop Planned Parenthood for destroying 3,700 babies a day.
Yep. For fun.
Well, and you know what's interesting? If you really look at that, what you'll do is if you're not in agreement with someone killing babies like I am,
mm-hmm.
You'll find that you're in agreement with God as well.
That's right.
And you'll see that God is for you, not against you.
That's right.
In righteousness.
He's going to protect that life.
Yeah. Planned Parenthood, Bruce, has slaughtered over 4 million preborn babies. Planned Parenthood kills 5,871 innocent human beings every week. It's more than that. One out of every four abortions is committed in a Planned Parenthood facility. Planned Parenthood calls abortion reproductive rights, but no one has the right to kill a child.
Reproductive rights.
Planned Parenthood collected $349.6 million in government grants. That's your money, folks. And contracts in 2008, and at the end of the year had $85 million in profits. It's mob money.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, if you want to find something, if you want to find fault and error with someone, call up Planned Parenthood, brother. Do your job, because we're standing behind you on that one, all right? Let's go on here. Preaching so as to convert nobody. Wow. Wow, dude. What a strange... Wow.
It's insane.
Folks, I've never heard that. That was strange. To try to justify setting people against your maker by mixing them and collaborating things from Planet Ork or something like that.
Inventing Bible verses that say,
and then
God
not
said.
Knowing what he's saying, God hates. Read Proverbs 6, brother. Mm-hmm. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates it. And you're saying that he's advocating it and then ripping up. I mean, dude, you're identifying Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And if you think Planned Parenthood and God are buddy buddies, you better wake up
and
smell the coffee, Bruce.
That's right.
Because he ain't.
He hates hands that shed innocent blood.
Preaching so as to convert nobody. Let them be short, occupying in the reading, not to exceed for more than 20 or 30 minutes. This is what's happening from the pulpits across the country. Oh, by the way, I just thought I'd share this too. Media Matters right now. They just received a large grant from George Soros, and they're actually trying to take down conservative radio. And what they try to do is they try to set people up. And apparently people, again, they must think within themselves in their reprobate minds that they're going to get one over on the conservatives that really do practice what they preach. And it doesn't work that way.
You know,
I was just born yesterday.
You know what's so obvious about this is, folks, the victory's laying right in your hand. At the end of the year, they were about to have to close their doors because they couldn't raise about $400,000 because their constituents don't have any money, and they said that.
They got to go back to Georgie. And just think about it.
Media Matters
trying to destroy the light that you have are advocating the crimes that this government commits.
Yep. So you have Media Matters.
God's the problem, though.
Media Matters is supported by one man, major funder. You have conservative radio supported by multiple millions of people that believe, that listen, and that fund. Multiple millions of people are being assaulted by one person on the other side. There's no reason why you run, folks. None. One person. That's it.
Preaching so as to convert nobody. Let your style be flowery, ornate, and quite above the comprehension of the common people. Speak above their heads. Use big words.
He's so smart. Look at him. My pastor's so smart.
Number 7. But is he moral? That's the real question.
But he's so smart. You know what I mean?
If he doesn't keep his word, he's in cahoots with Judas, folks. 7. Be sparing of thought, lest your sermon contain truth enough to convert a soul. In other words, don't point your finger. That's one of the very definitions of Torah law, by the way, folks. Number 8. Let your sermon... make a saving impression. Announce no distinct propositions or heads that will be remembered to disturb the consciences of your hearers. Don't do that. But Scripture tells you to do that, folks.
Talk radio.
Number 9. Make no distinct points and take no disturbing issues with consciences of your hearers, lest they remember these issues and become alarmed about their souls. Don't tell them the ship is sinking, folks. Don't tell them that if they die in their sin, that they got a second home. And by the way, there's not a number 2 to hell. Number 10, avoid a logical division and subdivision of your subject, lest you should too thoroughly instruct your people. Number 11, give your sermon the form and substance of a flowing, beautifully written, but never so to be remembered, essay, so that your hearers will say it was a beautiful sermon, but can give you no further accounts of it. Number 12, as to convert nobody, avoid preaching doctrines that are so offensive to the carnal mind, lest they should say of you, as they did of Christ, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And that your injuring of your influence is overwhelming. Should we continue on this thought, or should we pick up Sandusky on Monday?
That's what we should say.
As Sandusky laughs, folks, in court, the guy that's got 52 counts of molestation, pederast crimes, homosexual crimes against children.
Laughing in court, right?
Yep, laughing in court. Just did an article on WND. You might want to check that out, and or sonsoflibertyradio.com. We thank you for the calls today. Got some more calls coming in. Too late, sorry, folks. Maybe we can get another hour, Jake, so we can start dealing with some of these people.
Deal with them.
Pretty flaky stuff.
Yes, there's some
weird
flakage.
Some lost sheep.
Yeah.